Smith
back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks and Paul Dottino, as well as you. As always, we love the fan participation in the show because this show really is for you, Big Blue Nation. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, 201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. Also, a reminder, you can follow us on Twitter. Make sure you include that hashtag GiantsChat. We will include your Twitter questions and your comments throughout the show. Rocking and rolling with you for the next hour. With you till 10:30, head coach Tom Coughlin addresses the media at 11. You can watch that live on the MSG Network. Practice starts a little bit after that. Players made available to the media around 1:50 this afternoon. And again, just a reminder, you can log on to Giants.com and hear what all the Giants players have to say. Of course, comments looking back, unfortunately, to the loss to the Dallas Cowboys, but more importantly, looking forward to the Manning Bowl. We've got a slew of callers on board already with the big news that Brandon Jacobs, running back, now comes back home to the New York Football Giants. Big news, but before we get there, Paul, it is 9/11. And so if we can, for all of us here from the Giants organization, Giants broadcast team, players, staff, our hearts, our thoughts go out to those who lost loved ones and those who lost their lives during 9/11.
Anita, I will never forget coming down to the stadium a day after 9/11 to watch the Giants practice. They had to come back from a game against the Denver Broncos, as a matter of fact. Practice was canceled that day because of the tragedy. The next day, the Giants took the practice field on the grass field outside of Old Giants Stadium here next to the Turnpike. And driving to that practice field, I could see over the horizon across the Hudson River the smoke and all of the horror that was rising from the site of the Twin Towers. It is a sight I will never forget. It is a sight that gave you chills, made you sick to your stomach, made you tear up. There's no way any of us will ever forget it.
No, and nor should we. So, again, just keep them in our prayers and our thoughts all day today on 9/11. Let's continue with our show, 201-939-4513. Let's get right to the calls. Again, Brandon Jacobs signs with the New York Football Giants. Now, I think it's important that we make this clear. Yes, fans very disappointed with the two fumbles that David Wilson had against the Dallas Cowboys, but this team lost Andre Brown prior to that game, and there were running backs that were scheduled to come in and work out and meet with the Giants prior to the Dallas game. So this wasn't a knee-jerk reaction from the Giants to come in and bring in Brandon Jacobs. This was planned. This was already, they knew they needed to add another running back to this roster. It just so happens Brandon Jacobs, as we know, was a part of the Giants from 05 to 2011, knows this system. His heart is here with the Giants. This is the organization he wanted to play for. They did bring in Willis McGahee, but they decided to go with Brandon Jacobs. So it's important that Giants fans out there know that this was something that was the Giants organization was expecting to do. This wasn't like, oh, no, David Wilson fumbled two balls. That's it. Our David Wilson experiment is gone. We're going to go in a different direction. That's not the case here.
Well, the Giants needed a power back once Andre Brown went down. And it's obvious that Jacobs was the best fit. And in addition to being an outstanding power back, because after all, he does lead the Giants in all-time rushing touchdowns, he's also one dynamite pass protector. And if there's one thing that we did learn, although I think, Anita, we all knew during training camp and the preseason, the Giants were going to need some help in that backfield of keeping Eli Manning straight. And indeed, the Cowboys did put a lot of heat on him. They didn't get a ton of sacks, but they did put heat on him. And it's quite apparent that one of Brandon Jacobs' roles on Sunday against the Broncos will be to make sure that Eli Manning stays on his feet.
Again, 201-939-4513. Let's kick it off with Dominic in Pennsylvania. Dominic, you're our first guy up on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Welcome.
How you guys doing? First of all, I'd like to just keep in memory everybody who lost somebody in 9/11. I didn't want to, you know, start the conversation without, you know, remembering those who made sacrifices and those who had losses. It's great to have Brandon Jacobs back. He will provide another added layer of protection for Eli Manning. But I think that we still need to look at our offensive line. Brandon Jacobs is not a magic wand that will make Eli's protection, that much more effective without the offensive line. So my question is, where are we at with David Deal and Bass?
Deal is going to be out for several more weeks. David Bass is improving, and it's going to be interesting to see if he gets out on the practice field today. I'm going to say there's an outside chance that he's able to make it for Denver. I think it's more realistic that he'll make it for Carolina in week three. And so Tom Coughlin may have another decision to make, Anita. As you know, during the preseason, the Giants, when Bass went out, they had a couple of options, and they wound up using both of them. One was to keep Booth at left guard and put Jim Caudle in at center. And he did well in one of the preseason games and then did not do so well in the other. And that is why the Giants then decided to make the swap and put Booth at center and James Brewer at left guard. Well, quite frankly, that last combination that I just spoke of did not perform very well in Dallas. I think Tom Coughlin needs to rethink that right now and figure out which way he wants to go. Again, assuming that Bass is not going to be ready. I think that's very iffy right now.
Let's talk about Brandon Jacobs when it comes to pass protection, because that was another big reason why I believe that they did sign Brandon Jacobs, and the fact that, again, he knows this offense, he understands the role of the back in pass pro, especially on third and long when you know teams are going to be coming after Eli Manning and you need somebody back there to protect him. So your thoughts on Brandon Jacobs as a pass protector out of the backfield, Paul?
Well, Anita, he's 6'4", 6'4 and a half, 265 pounds. There is not a linebacker in this league that believes he can run over Brandon Jacobs or get him to push him backwards. It's just not going to happen. He is a ferocious pass blocker, and there are a lot of defensive ends in this league that aren't even as big as he is or are too anxious to take him on. So it is a very big deterrent for teams coming after Eli when they know 27, well, he's now going to be number 34, is standing there in the backfield. I will also tell you that if you watched the game the other night and saw Eli's final pick that clinched it for the Cowboys, the Giants had a hot read on. Manning called for the blitz, and Darrell Scott did not pick up on the read. As a result, he ran out looking for a screen pass when actually the Giants were looking for him to run a quick out in the flat because there was a hot read. He didn't turn around in time to see the ball. And a lot of people got on Eli thinking he threw the ball awry. Actually, Scott didn't run the right route and didn't turn around quick enough.
Okay, but
a veteran
but
might
do all,
that.
But in all fairness here, how much practice time did Darrell Scott get in running that play, in knowing exactly where to be, in knowing when to turn around? I mean, he really did not. I mean, you were here every day during training camp. I was not. But how often did you see Darrell Scott get in with the first team, run that play with Eli Manning as opposed to Painter or Carr?
He got a healthy amount of snaps, Anita. But I will say this.
Not with the first team.
I will say this. There's a better chance that Brandon's going to know that because he'd been here for a handful of years than Darrell Scott would.
There's no denying that. But every quarterback likes to run the screen differently. Every quarterback has a different idea in regard to where they need to get their running back the ball differently.
Mm-hmm.
And Darrell Scott and Eli Manning just did not have a lot of time to develop that. The screen play is one of the plays in football that the execution has to be absolutely perfect.
No doubt.
From the quarterback to the running back to the offensive line, even to the wide receivers blocking downfield. I mean, in order for that to be successful, everything has to stars have to be lined really properly.
Truly, and like a row of dominoes.
And obviously, it was not. So, but again, how much practice time did those did they have? Not much, because Darrell Scott ran with the third team the majority of the time.
Whatever the reason is, the bottom line is that play was not executed properly, and they've got a better chance of running that kind of play in that kind of situation if Brandon Jacobs is in the backfield.
201-939-4513. We continue with our calls. A full bank today. Why not? Big news, Brandon Jacobs. Now, back home with the New York Football Giants. Let's go to Ann in Washington. Ann, welcome.
Thank God. I'm glad. well, first of all, I'd like to say that I was in at work the day of 9/11, and I don't really want to go back and revisit it, but I'm glad our nation is healed from that. But let me go and address the issue of I had to call it. Because I'm glad you had mentioned that Darrell Scott had no practice reps with Eli Manning. And to me, that is the fault of that daggone Kevin Gilbride. There was no excuse for that guy to be even in on that play. Why would you go to a short pass when you know that you're sitting there beating the hell out of Dallas by throwing zone? You know what I'm saying? That was crazy. You keep doing what's working. The Giants could have won that game had they not had that daggone Kevin. Look, it's about what have you done for me lately. I don't want to hear about past Super Bowls and what Gilbride done. He sat there and blew that game with that stupid play call. You don't put a guy on there who hasn't had any reps with the quarterback. And then you're going to ask him to do that? Stop it. Okay, secondly, Jerry Reese has got to be the worst general manager. And I don't care about what he did in the past. It's about what have you done for me lately. He brings Jacob in. Jacob was awful in pass protection. I remember the Jets. I remember that preseason game with the Jets when Eli Manning got hit and the blood was coming out.
And I have to tell you, you sound like a nice person, but you couldn't be more wrong. And that's just going to be enough for her right now because, you know, when folks want to come at us with different opinions, I'm all for it. And I'd love to hear different opinions. But you got to come with facts beneath it. And Brandon Jacobs is an outstanding pass protector. Ask any defensive coordinator in the National Football League. And if you really want to go back and look at the tapes, Ann, why don't you go back and look at the Super Bowl win in Arizona when Brandon Jacobs was the one who picked up the pass rusher and allowed Eli to throw the winning touchdown pass to Plaxico Burress in the final minute of the game. That perhaps is the best example you will ever find of Brandon Jacobs and what he could do in pass pro.
201-939-4513. We continue with our calls. We go to Michael in New York. Michael, welcome.
Hey, guys. Just want to say I'm big fans of both of you guys. Enjoy the talk. If I could make two constructive criticism points, unlike the last caller, I feel the Giants really, it's odd. They get in this thing where they want to run power eye, and I don't feel like we have the linemen like we did in 2008 for it. I noticed when they let Eli kind of open it up with the three receivers we have and Brandon Myers, who's a very good pass-catching tight end, the offense flows. And I feel like they should really kind of get into that like Green Bay does, run out of those formations. I was just wondering what you guys thought about that.
Well, I agree with you. The Giants do not have a power running game. And for them to try to establish that it has been a bit of an issue. Now, they still got to try. Because ultimately, they're better off if they can get that part of their game going again. You can't just give up on it. That would be a really bad thing to do, especially after only one game of the regular season. And Anita, I think the thing that's more frustrating to the fans than anything else, and I understand it, believe me, I do, is that this O-line has really not been allowed to gel whatsoever. I mean, we talked about how they had four different offensive lines in four preseason games. I know these guys are versatile, and I know that guys like Kevin Booth have had experience playing different positions, but it's rather unrealistic to expect them to be clicking on all cylinders right out of the gate, given what happened in the last month.
I agree with you. Let's talk about the backfield right now. Again, Brandon Jacobs comes in. He hasn't played in quite a while. I mean, what did he play, like five?
Two games with the Niners
and
last year.
And he had five carries in those two games, right?
Right.
I mean, so this is a guy who really hasn't played football in about 2 years.
He's fresh, he's 31, and he's been working out like a demon for months.
Okay, so this practice is going to be very intriguing. I anticipate, like, the world in regard to the media being here today.
Yes.
To see not only kind of the fact that the Manning Bowl is upon us and probably one of the most will be one of the most watched games in week two in the NFL, but also the fact that they do sign Brandon Jacobs. But how do you see this backfield? I do believe the Giants do start David Wilson. I will be shocked if the first offensive series, David Wilson's not the starting running back.
I'm going to counter that.
Agree or disagree?
I disagree.
Really?
Yes,
You think they'll start with Brandon Jacobs?
Let me explain something.
Wow.
Here. First of all, the Giants' plan is to give him, Jacobs at least 60% of the snaps beginning today in practice because they want to speed rush him to get him ready for Denver on Sunday. He's got to play against the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to do everything they can to make sure that he is up to spec. Now, I think we both know Tom Coughlin pretty well. Tom does make statements. He does prove points. I believe for two reasons. It would not be surprising, and I'm not telling you I expect it, but it would not be surprising if Brandon Jacobs starts on Sunday. I'm not saying he's going to get more carries than David Wilson for the game. I'm not saying he's going to see more snaps. What I'm saying is Tom may want to send a message to David Wilson and say, hey, look, you did what you did last week. I pulled you out of the game. You were benched. Okay? That's not the way we do things here. He could send a message by rewarding Brandon Jacobs, a two-time Super Bowl champion, a respected teammate, a leader, a vocal spark plug, to get the start in this game, not only to show David Wilson that he means business, that is, Tom Coughlin means business, but in addition to that, could you imagine if the Giants come out for their first snap of the game and Brandon Jacobs comes running out onto the field, this stadium will erupt. If there's one thing we know that this offense has not had throughout the course of the preseason, they have had no spark, no fire, no excitement. I believe that starting Brandon Jacobs would provide that very lift of emotion that the Giants may be looking for. He may come off the field on second down, but for that first play, it would not shock me to see Jacobs not only in the huddle, he might even get the ball.
Interesting. Because one thing that that I've noticed in regard to when a player, especially offensively, makes a mistake. For example, after David Wilson's first fumble, they came right back out on offense, and the first play was back to David Wilson. Same thing with Darrell Scott. After Darrell Scott and Eli Manning had that miscue and that tip ball and it was intercepted, the first play back on offense went back to Darrell Scott. There's a reason why offensive coordinators do that. So you want the player to still believe in their mind that you have faith in them.
That is true. That is true. But after the second fumble, Tom said enough is enough.
Oh, yes. And understandably so.
No question.
But I do believe that if you have Brandon Jacobs come out and start, I think that will send a message that would be helpful.
I don't know. As Antrell Roll said yesterday on WFAN, he's either got to man up and step up, that is David Wilson, or he's got to crawl into a shell and hide. He's got to do one or the other.
Right.
And I'll tell you this. I think if Tom Coughlin decides to go that way, and I don't think he's decided yet, but I think he'll decide as the week goes on and he watches practice. He may be toying with this. And I think if he does decide to go that way, he'll tell David Wilson before the game. I don't think it'll be a shock to David Wilson that Brandon will start.
What,
I think
first,
he would tell him.
The first 12 to 16 plays are scripted.
Right. So he'll tell David Wilson. Yeah, he'll tell him.
201-939-4513. We go to Sean in Florida. Sean, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're on with Anita Marks and Paul Dottino. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, with Brandon Jacobs coming on, I think it's a good addition because, honestly, there's no other back in the league like Jacobs. There's not. No one can go up the gut and take out pretty much half the line himself or go out to the side and break out for a 20-yard run like it's nothing. There's really, I don't see Peyton Manning's team, I don't see the Broncos ever have seen a back like Jacobs. Really, nobody in the league has until he came in. And that's why I think it's going to be nice. Would I have liked to see Willis McGahee on the Giants? Yeah, honestly, I would have loved it. Dude's a great back. But I think it's going to be good to see him back on the team. I was upset when he left. I'm glad he's back.
Well, thank you for your phone call, Sean. I appreciate it, folks. Big Blue fans down there in Florida. Gotta love it. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Dave in the Bronx. Dave.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. There's a couple questions I have and a comment that I wanted to make. The first question that I have, I wanted to know the status of Henry Hynoski and how he is working out with the Giants, if he's got his stamina back, and how he's blocking, because before it's all said and done, they're going to need this guy. I felt, you know, he's a big role for the Giants in opening up holes in that run game. The second thing I wanted to ask about was same thing with Brandon Jacobs and his knees. We know we can do the little things, block, pass protect. You know, I think it was a good signing. He knows the system. He could come right in right away and help out the Giants rather than someone else, like another veteran who might take some time to learn the roles and the play calling and things like that. But I think it was a good signing for the Giants. So those are my two questions, those two guys' status. And the comment that I have, you know, I know in the past the Giants, you know, like to run the ball, and that will open up the pass game. But, you know, the Giants, in my opinion, have one of the best receiving corps in the league. They got three guys that went over 100 yards last week. The Giants came back on Dallas by throwing the ball. Eli makes the majority of the money for this team, and I'd rather have the ball in his hands than Darrell Scott or one of the other running backs, you know, right now. You know, put the ball in his hands. He's a proven leader. And, you know, I think this year the Giants' pass game should open up their run game, almost like what one of the earlier callers said about Green Bay. You know, Denver's doing the same thing right now. You know, they have a pretty good run game. But I think, you know, the Giants this year, I mean, it's unproven right now. That offensive line is in constant state of flux. You got different guys coming in, being moved around. You know, I just think the pass game should open up the run game this year. And last game, I don't even know how many play-action calls were made, you know, because the run game really wasn't established, so they really weren't able to run a lot of play-action. But, you know, that was a comment that I need to make. I think, you know, it would be good this year, at least for the first few games. I understand you need to, you know, establish a run game, you know, but I just think that right now the Giants, you know, should go to that pass game, and that will open up the run game. Because Darrell Scott started getting some, you know, runs in the second half, not after Eli started throwing the ball downfield a bit, you know. So that's just my opinion, but I wanted to get your comments on it. And by the way, I love the screen pass calls. I mean, even though it got picked off, they need to do more of that. Get the blockers out and get you know, David Wilson, before it's all said and done, they're going to need him for the rest of the season. I mean, hopefully he doesn't have butterfingers, but, you know, he gets that fixed up. But, you know, I think that I just wanted to get your opinion on everything. Thanks a lot.
Paul?
Okay, I'm going to let my partner talk about winging the ball and throwing it around, because that's something you like to do. But the comment about the health of the offensive line and Hynoski, again, we're not sure exactly where Boss stands right now. We think he may try to practice today, but we don't know. Hynoski, his leg is just not right yet, and they cleared him enough that they didn't think he would injure himself more, and so medically they thought he was capable of going out onto the field. He'd only practiced about a week or so and hadn't even taken a whole ton of snaps. And so they gave him the green, but now it was going to be a football decision for Coach Coughlin. And he decided that the combination of Pasco and then whoever was going to play tight end, who was not going to be a good blocker, was a much worse evil than throwing out Henry Hynoski at, let's just say, less than 100%. It turned out to be a horrible decision. Henry played approximately 12 to 15 snaps, and quite frankly, I thought had his worst game as a pro. He was rusty as could possibly be, and you saw the Giants got him out of there pretty quickly because it was apparent it was not working. So what happens now? Well, Henry's had a few days to rest. He's got a few more days to practice. If he gets his machine oiled up, perhaps he does get to start again and gets to play a lot against Denver. If he doesn't, maybe the Giants are still better off going back the other way, which is not a great solution either. The whole Pasco and then mystery tight end, you know, who doesn't block, isn't a great idea either. But it's got to be better than what they just saw the other night, because Henry Hynoski, for all of his confidence, was not ready. It was quite apparent. The other part of his question, he was talking about the game plans and throwing the ball around, and he wants to wing it. I mean, I know that's something that you like to do a lot. I still think they got to run it.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, you got to keep in mind time of possession. One thing that I think really hurt this team against the Dallas Cowboys is the fact that the Dallas Cowboys, their time of possession was ridiculous. You've got to keep your defense healthy. You've got to keep your defense fresh. And that's why it's very important that you incorporate, you know, you don't – granted, yes, we see Eli go in. We see them go no huddle. We see Eli drive down 80, 90 yards and score touchdowns. But it happens in the course of like 2 minutes and 45 seconds.
The Giants only had the ball for 22 minutes all night.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, you got to keep that in mind. And at the same time, I mean, how many times is it going to have to come down to Eli? Granted, I know we like to call him the comeback kid, but every now and then, like, you know, this team has to step up. You need a solid rushing attack. I mean, not that that has to be your – not that that has to be – I want to use the word elixir because I like it so much, but that's not the right, that's not the proper word to use here.
You don't want it to be the bread and butter necessarily.
Exactly, exactly. But you need to have it. And I can understand where Giants fans want to see Eli Manning be that gunslinger. And the amount of talent that's on this offense right now, Paul, I mean, listen, when they had the ball and they were going no huddle, and what we've been preaching all preseason, don't worry about Hakeem Nicks, don't worry about Hakeem Nicks. Well, sure enough, you got a good taste of Hakeem Nicks. Should have had a touchdown, mind you. But especially on those slant routes and his yards after the catch were magnificent. Victor Cruz, 3 touchdowns. I still think we haven't seen the best of Brandon Myers.
I think 7 passes.
I think you're gonna see a real good Brandon Myers against the Denver Broncos, who have a really tough time against opposing tight ends. Gave up 11 touchdowns to opposing tight ends last season. So with that being said, yeah, I think their bread and butter is their passing game. I think their bread and butter is Eli Manning.
Well, you know, it was the first time in Giants history, and folks, this franchise goes back a long way, and they've had some pretty good quarterbacks, one by the name of Y.A. Tittle. It's the first time in Giants history they had 3 receivers go for 100 yards or more in the same game. That's pretty explosive. We've been telling you, Anita and I have been telling you for the last month, this could wind up being the most explosive Giants offense they've ever seen. But you know what? You still got to have some balance. I don't blame them for trying to get the running game going. It just wasn't happening.
And now they have Brandon Jacobs to help that out. 201-939-4513. Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, and of course you. Keep in mind, you can follow us on Twitter. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants chat for any questions or comments we'll share throughout the show. Let's go to Brian in Philly. Brian, welcome.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi.
Good, good. I think that the Brandon Jacobs pickup was good. Not just, you know, him. I think it was more so, you know, him being with us, him knowing the offense. He, you know, don't have to take time like McGahee would to learn the offense. He, you know, somewhat knows the offense. Not just that, but his spirit and what he brought. He was always like a leader. You know, he brought, you know, he helped Bradshaw. So I think that I like it a lot because he can work with Wilson and talk to him. See, before, I mean, Brown got experience, but not like Jacobs. He got 2 rings with us, so, you know, I like that pickup. And I think, like what Anita was saying and the caller was saying, that our wide receiver corps is going to be dangerous, I think, as the season go along. Like right now, with the injuries, I hate injuries, but I like them when they're early. And not out for the season, obviously, but because guys like Boss and Dill, these guys are veterans. They can come back, like in week 4, week 5. See, football to me, you want to be good, you want to be subpar, but it's about that run. And the season to me starts after Thanksgiving. So I think if we get guys healthy and we get guys good and we go on the run, we'll be fine. So.
Well, you make a great point about Jacobs' fire, and thanks so much for the call. Anita, I think it's very relevant because one of the words that we used a lot during the preseason is that this offense was, I don't know if we used the word apathetic, but we used the word they were very down. They were not excited. They were kind of methodical. They didn't have a lot of spark. Brandon Jacobs brings fire, brings brimstone, brings that stick of dynamite into the huddle. And, you know, Victor Cruz tried to force it the other day. You remember against Dallas, I don't know if the cameras were still on him from NBC, but after he caught his final touchdown pass that got the Giants back into the game, his 3rd score of the night,
he ripped off his helmet, and he just started screaming like crazy, trying to get his guys going. But that's really not what Victor Cruz does. Victor Cruz is not a screamer. Victor Cruz was forcing it, trying to find that extra spark for this offense. But when it's forced, it never has the true effect that it would have as if it came from somebody's belly. And Brandon Jacobs breathes fire from the very depth of his gut. This is a guy who makes his team play harder. It's a good thing.
Well, it's something that you and I have talked about, you know, now for a few years, and that is the leadership on this team. Where does it come from? Defensively, now that Antrel Roll was made captain, I think that kind of opens the door for him to even be more vocal in the locker room and more of a leader. It's hard when a guy comes in and he's new and, you know, and we know when Antrel first got here, him and Tom weren't on the same page. It's a different day for Antrel Roll, and I think by making him the captain, there's a different sense of leadership and swagger that he brings to the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, not a knock on Eli, but Eli leads on the field. He's not a rah, rah, rah guy. He's not in the locker room being very vocal. He's not in guys' faces. It's just not his personality. Bringing Brandon Jacobs back into this locker room adds that dimension, that leadership, that veteran leadership. And also, the running backs that are on this team right now look up to him, really respect him. If you recall, what was it, 2 weeks ago he was in the building?
He
was in the building?
He came to practice right before training camp ended.
And the running backs, you know, were just so grateful that he came in and he visited with them. And they were so complimentary of him. So, you know, I think his voice will be heard. It won't be like, ah, who's this old guy coming in here trying to tell us what to do? No, that's not going to be the perception. That's not – they are going to listen. They respect him.
They're young. They're impressionable.
Yes.
And Anita, he's got two rings.
Yes. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Jason. Jason, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me. I just wanted to touch on the same thing the last guy touched on about Brandon Jacobs. I do believe in second chances, and he's a veteran, and that's what the Giants needed. They really needed somebody to spark up that fire in that team. The one thing I don't like that they do is when they get the ball on turnovers, they seem to forget how hungry they need to be. And with somebody like Brandon Jacobs, he can actually – he's one of the main reasons why they won the last Super Bowl, because he was there to spark up the team and bring that fire in there.
Well, appreciate the phone call. And, you know, Anita, I'm not portraying a confidence here when I mention this. Brandon Jacobs had interest from around the league. I mean, I'm not going to get into specifics, but there were a lot of teams that wanted to bring him in and thought he could help and still had something left at age 31. And he didn't want to go. He wanted to be a Giant again. This guy is so focused, so motivated. Very rarely do you have an opportunity as a coach or a GM to bring back a guy who has one purpose in mind. His sole purpose is to come back and do whatever he can to help the Giants win, because that's what he wants to be a part of. He didn't want to go anywhere else. You know how many people, again, a lot of teams called him. This wasn't about Brandon Jacobs extending his career and playing one more year because he just wanted to hold a football in his hands. That's not what this was about. This was about a guy who bleeds Giant blue and did not want his career to end as an unhappy San Francisco 49er who just wound up tossed to the side and out of pro football. He's here to show pride, respect, and dignity as a Giant, and to restore his good name into the National Football League as a New York Giant. I can't think of a better motivation to have this guy come back.
Paul Dottino, Anita Marks with you for the next 30 minutes. Again, a reminder, head coach Tom Coughlin does address the media at 11 a.m. Eastern time today. You can watch that live on MSG. Paul Dottino and
Roman
Oben also will break down that press conference for you. Players will be made available after practice today around 1:45, and then make sure later on this afternoon you tune into Giants.com for all the players have to say about the upcoming Manning Bowl.
And then at 4 o'clock.
I love it. I love calling it that.
Yeah, at 4 o'clock, you have Big Blue kickoff.
Yes,
tonight.
And at 4 o'clock, myself and Roman Oben will be hosting Big Blue. No. Big Blue Hits.
Big Blue Hits, right.
There you go. Everything's Big Blue around here. Big Blue
sure
Hits.
Sure is.
And I believe Ryan Mundy is going to join us.
Had a pick the other night.
Yes. So I think he's going to join us for the first part of the show, and then Rome and I will take you for the remainder of the show. It's a 30-minute show from 4 to 4:30 Eastern Time. You can watch it on Giants.com, and also you can call into the show. It's an interactive show. Then the same phone number, 201-939-4513. All right, let's get back to our calls. We've got Jamar calling in from New Jersey. Jamar, welcome.
Yes, how you doing? My question is, I love Brandon Jacobs, the new addition. I love that. I just want to know is, will David Wilson go back on kick returns? Because we know what he can do. He can create that spark buzz off, starting off in the game. I love Michael Cox, but I think he just needs to sit back and learn the offense right now. But what do you think about that?
Well, Michael Cox earned the kickoff return job in preseason. In fact, that's the reason he made the 53-man roster. And so I see no reason to pull him off. It's not like he did anything wrong in Dallas, although, quite honestly, he did try to catch two kickoffs as a baseball outfielder and put his hands up instead of down. I know the coaching staff had to cringe at that, but why would you take Michael Cox off of kickoff returns? He's done nothing really to make you feel like he can't do the job. Let him keep it. Okay? Okay.
Let's go to Ed, calling in from Houston, Texas. Ed, welcome.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be on with y'all. I agree with everything Paul is saying about Brandon Jacobs. Granted, he's not going to be the 1,000-yard rusher he once was, but he brings so many positives to the team. And if he comes out in that first series on Sunday, that stadium will just get lifted off the ground. And talk about an emotional boost. I watched the Dallas game, and I watched the players coming out of the tunnel, and they all looked, the expression on their faces, they all looked like they were 12 years old and they were going in for their first root canal. There was no energy. They weren't high-fiving each other. They needed a boost. In the old days, they had Strahan on defense, and they had Jacobs on offense, and you would see it on the sidelines. They would just get this crescendo of energy and then just explode on the field. And that's just not present right now. And the other thing I wanted to mention, last week, toward the end of the week, there was some discussion regarding DeMarcus Ware and as to whether they would flip him from right defensive end to left defensive end to put eyeball up to eyeball with Justin Pugh. And I'm surprised nobody's brought that up, but there were numerous times, at least in the second half, that I saw Ware lined up over Pugh, and he handled him real well.
He was over Pugh for, I believe, two different possessions, but I'd say 80% of the time he was opposite Will Beatty. And I agree with you. I thought Pugh did a very nice job, especially for his first real pro game. I gave him a very solid B for the night.
That's good to hear. I think, with all the uncertainty in the offensive line, it sounds like the Pugh draft choice is really going to be a positive down the road. I don't think they ran a whole lot to the right, but his pass protection, I thought, was stellar for the first game and being on the road.
Well, they didn't run a whole lot anywhere, to be perfectly honest with you. So, that's something that's got to be fixed this weekend. Thanks for the call.
Hopefully okay, you have a good day.
201-939-4513. Trying to rock and roll through these calls. We'd like to try to get everybody on before we sign off at 10:30. Let's go to Dennis in New York.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
How's it going? Yeah, well, the one thing I wanted to ask, do you think Brandon Jacobs is going to take the starting role from Wilson right away until Wilson gets kind of used to, holding on to the ball?
Well, look, I'm just saying that I think for the reasons I've already spelled out, it's possible that Brandon Jacobs will take the first snap from scrimmage on Sunday as the starter. Again, I can't emphasize enough, that doesn't mean he's going to carry the ball 25 times and that David Wilson won't see the field. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that there could be a symbolic and emotional lift by putting Jacobs out there for the first snap. Wilson needs to produce. He is a first-round draft pick. As Anita has said thousands of times, when you draft a guy like that at the skill position in the first round, he better be a big-time player, and he better be pretty quickly. The Giants they need David Wilson to be really good this year if they're going to be a playoff team. Would you not agree?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he can be. And look at Tiki Barber. He went through the same exact problems, you know, for a while there where he couldn't keep his hands on the ball. You see how he turned out.
Well, so Joe Morris had that same problem when he was a kid, too.
And
Bill Parcells fixed Joe Morris like Tom Coughlin fixed Tiki Barber. It can be done.
Right. It will be. That's what I wanted to ask you guys. Thank you for your time.
Appreciate it.
Let me ask you this, because you were here during the Tiki Barber era. What did Tiki do in order to eliminate his fumbling issues?
He changed his grip on the ball. You see, Anita, the football, because of the way it's shaped, it's very, very difficult sometimes for guys to be able to get the appropriate grip in their forearm with the elbow lock and then the other tip of the ball gripped hard in their palm. And so what Tom Coughlin always says, if you're going to go with the one, you got to make sure you're high and tight, keeping it tight against your breastbone. But then the other thing you have to do, when you see impact about to come, you got to make sure you get that second arm or that second hand around the ball. Now, on one of David Wilson's fumbles the other night, he did not do that. And that, I think, is one of the reasons why Tom Coughlin got so angry. Because they have stressed a million times to him, like they stress to every one of their backs and receivers, when you're going to brace for impact, make sure you got that ball tight. You take that grip and you just enhance it two or three times, and then you make sure you got that other arm on there, and okay, take the hit, absorb the blow, don't lose the ball.
Okay. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeff, welcome.
Morning, folks. Yeah, that's right, Paul. You got to carry the ball high and tight with 3 points of contact at all times.
No question. And Tiki had to relearn how to do that because at Virginia, he had no idea of what Tom Coughlin was talking about.
So are you seeing a resemblance in regards to the way that David Wilson carries the ball?
I don't see him carrying the ball high and tight as dramatically as Tiki did. Tiki had to overemphasize it to break old habits. David Wilson's still a young player. He should still be forming some habits. He's not, you know, 5, 6, 7 years in the league. He's still in that learning stage and that maturing stage. And I think, you know what? I'm going to be real anxious to watch it practice, whatever we can see, to see what David Wilson does during the course of these next several days.
Okay. David Wilson, no doubt, is the future of the Giants. He's only a very young man. He's a young kid, really.
Remember, he came out a year early, too.
Yeah, and I'm sure he will learn from this. He must learn from this and mature and go forward just as all other really good players do, and I'm sure he will. But, you know, with Jacobs, you know, I don't know if it's fair to think that, you know, he's going to come in here and be a knight in shining armor. You know, I don't know. Maybe he is the best thing that, you know, the best move that we could make right now, but I just have my doubts as to how much he's going to contribute because, I mean, he did absolutely nothing with the 49ers. I think he had 4 carries for 7 yards. And a lot of times when he was with the Giants in his last season, I mean, we'd have 3rd and 1 or 3rd and 2 and wouldn't be able to pick up those first downs. So, believe me, I'm really hoping he can come here and be a really positive thing, but I just have serious doubts about that happening.
Let me just say one thing to you, and maybe it'll make you feel better, maybe it won't. There's no question that at times Brandon Jacobs was a little bit more bark than bite over his Giants career. Between the 20s, his short yardage record was inconsistent. However, when the Giants got down inside the 5-yard line, there is no one in franchise history who smelled the end zone like Brandon Jacobs. 56 career rushing touchdowns. He owns the Giants' all-time record. He's proud of that record. And they've had some pretty good backs here over the years. When you got near the goal line, there was nobody you wanted to have the ball more than Brandon Jacobs. After Ryan Mundy got knocked out of bounds at the 1-yard line on that interception in Dallas the other night, would you have rather had anybody else in the game than Brandon Jacobs? They would have scored a touchdown. That would not have been a 3-point possession. I guarantee you.
Well, I'd have, you know, Brandon Jacobs there when he was good, when he was in his prime. I'm hoping he still has some juice left in his tank, but We'll see.
Okay, thanks.
You guys have a good day now.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. You know, Paul, I find it interesting. Giants fans are kind of on both sides of the coin here, and I'd say it's probably split 50-50. Some of the responses that I'm getting on Twitter, which, by the way, you can follow me on Twitter, at Anita Marks, Paul as well, at Giants, WFAN. Some of the responses that I'm getting on Twitter, some are like, really, like, this is great, this is exciting, yeah, Brandon's back. And then others are like, oh, that bump. What are you sensing in regard to the fan reaction you're getting on Twitter?
I think it's been mostly positive, probably about 60-40, 65-40. But there's no question there are a lot of folks who either didn't like some of the things that Brandon said over the years. He was not always saying the right thing. And then there were other times where, as I said, he was very inconsistent in short yardage between the 20s. And people would say, well, you know what? They referred to the, I think it was Terry Siragusa, who at one point said that Jacobs would dance and pitter-patter toward the line of scrimmage. Well, there were issues. When Jacobs had his subpar performances, he was usually battling knee injuries and or running behind a very suspect offensive line. Now, this offensive line is not where it needs to be. I agree with you. But I do think that given the circumstances, he was the best choice. One thing you have to keep in mind, Anita, and Tom Coughlin was preaching this from day one of the offseason, the Giants need to have a better running mentality. They have to get back to forcing the ball down people's throats. They have to believe, want to, and then show that they can run the ball again. Well, Brandon Jacobs at 6'4.5 and 265, you know, if he's as fired up as I am led to believe he is, because he's had about 5 months of dynamite shoved down his throat, he's exactly the kind of guy who can restore that mentality. And I think a guy like Justin Pugh is going to really enjoy blocking for Brandon Jacobs. I really do.
201-939-4513. Let's go to John, calling in from New Jersey. John, you're on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Good morning, Anita. Good morning, Paul.
Hi.
I remember the last Manning ball. I traveled to Indy. What an awful night that was. They got killed. I was so disgusted I left after the third quarter. That was the night, actually, Brandon Jacobs threw his helmet into the crowd. I'm hoping for a better result this week. But my question actually has to do, guys, with Prince. Is he going to be ready Sunday?
We don't have the answer to that yet because he suffered a concussion in Dallas, had to leave the game. Ryan Mundy told me afterwards that it wasn't very serious, but you know the rules in the NFL. You have to take those concussion tests, and until you pass them, you are not allowed even on the practice field. And so when we get out there today, actually, Coach Coughlin will have his press conference at 11. Right after that, you know, we should have an idea of where Prince stands.
Yeah, my heart sunk when I saw him get hit friendly fire. Oh,
I know.
To my wife, I can't believe this. That was awful.
I think the Giants were really lucky that when Mundy and Prince cracked heads, they only had the one injury. I mean, Mundy was a little woozy at first, too,
yes.
But it turned out he was really okay moments later and, in fact, was able to get back in the game and finished and played well.
Right. All right, guys. Have a great day.
Good news, Anita. Aaron Ross came in for Prince and also played very well in the second half of that Dallas game.
Yeah, let's talk about the secondary for a minute before we do continue with our calls. Let me say this. Listen, 6 turnovers and the Giants were still in it to win it. Unfortunately, we know they did not. In fact, after 5 turnovers, Eli Manning was driving with 2:41 left on the clock and they were only down by 6. Typically, when a team has 5 or 6 turnovers, it is an annihilation. It is like the third string is in the fourth quarter. So, you know, granted, the silver lining here, I think, is even though the Giants had all those turnovers, they were still in it to win it towards the end.
I think
that's a positive. And the fact that, listen, they took Dez Bryant out of the game. Jason Witten did not have the, what was it, 18 receptions for...
He did have 2 touchdown catches, unfortunately, for the Giants.
Which is actually big for him because typically he's not utilized in the red zone.
Right.
That's the biggest knock in regard to fantasy football on Jason Witten is that he'll get a lot of receptions, he'll put up a lot of yards, but he's not going to score you any touchdowns because for whatever reason the Dallas Cowboys don't utilize him in the red zone, but they did against the Giants. But with that being said, Prince concussion, we don't know what time it is for him if he's going to get the start against the Denver Broncos. Aaron Ross did step up and play good when he needed to come in. What about Terrell Thomas? Now, Terrell Thomas had that Miles Austin, had that matchup. Looking ahead to the Denver Broncos, do you feel that matchup is going to be with Wes Welker, with Terrell Thomas? And your thoughts on Terrell Thomas's play against the Dallas Cowboys last week?
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me at all if he did. Terrell Thomas finished with 6 solo tackles, an assist, and a pass defense. I thought he played very well. In fact, talking to him after the game, he said it felt good to be back because he thought he had played at a very high level as well.
Which can we just say, is remarkable.
Insane.
The fact that this man has had 3 ACL repairs and to be able to come out and play top caliber football in the NFL is remarkable. Let's just get that out there.
Let me just say this about the secondary. I'm going to get off Thomas for just 1 second. Dallas only completed 2 passes of 20 or more yards in the game all night. With the explosive guys they have, only 2, and their longest completion of the night was for 23 yards. Can we please just relax, all the people who think the Giants secondary is awful? Did you watch the game Sunday? Okay? The pass rush was inconsistent at times, and Romo was able to hit a lot of stuff underneath. And they did take advantage of some of the poor coverage of the linebackers at times. But this secondary played well. They're going to have to play well against Peyton.
So, but again, back to that matchup, Terrell Thomas and Wes Welker. Are you anticipating that?
Yeah, I would think, well, it depends on if Prince is going to play. If Prince plays, he and C. Webby start. Ross is going to be the nickel in all likelihood, and so he might start out against Welker at the beginning and try his luck. And then maybe if it doesn't work out, they'll go to Thomas. If Prince doesn't play, Aaron Ross will start opposite Webby, and then Terrell Thomas will be the guy in the slot anyway.
Here are some questions and comments on Twitter. Again, find us at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Donald. Tag Rocket is his name. Jacobs didn't like being second fiddle to Bradshaw, so now with absolutely no one in the backfield, will he dominate Big Blue? Well, again, coming in, he understands his role. He knows that this is David Wilson's backfield, right? I mean, mm-hmm. He knows that coming in.
He does. He does.
So it's a different mentality for Brandon Jacobs. When he felt more like an equal with Ahmad Bradshaw, now he comes in and he knows that David Wilson is the starting running back here.
He doesn't have to carry the ball 25 times a game. What he's got to do is provide enough energy and production in spots while being David Wilson's big brother.
201-939-4513. Let's continue with our calls. Chaz in Rochester. Chaz, welcome.
Yes, sir. Top of the morning to you. Thank
Same
you for
to
taking
you, sir.
My call. The Brandon Jacobs thing, and granted, this is just my opinion, but I'm just going to weigh in. It seems like a feel-good story. Brandon Jacobs is, I'm sure, a good guy, but I don't think he's the cure-all. When I think of Brandon Jacobs, the current Brandon Jacobs, I think of third and ones turning into fourth and ones. You know, the opponent seeing Brandon inserted into the offense—that's a dead giveaway that they're probably going to run a dive, or you know, they're definitely going to hand the ball off to Brandon, so they stack the box. So I just feel that acquiring Brandon Jacobs is like trying to put a Band-Aid over a gash. You have to address the gash, and I think the gash is the offensive line. I feel that they should have, you know, gone after an offensive lineman instead, because Brewer is not, at least to me, he's not a starting offensive lineman at this point. And he's really one of the Achilles heels to the offensive line. So I just felt like, you know, Brandon Jacobs, I'm happy to see him here, but ultimately I don't think he's the cure-all.
Thank you for the phone call.
Well, again, part of his value will be in what I believe to be his role as a running back, strictly on his production. I believe the other part of his value is intangible. And those things you cannot quantify unless you're around this team and in the locker room every day.
Here's another question on Twitter. This is from Jay Wise. His moniker is Jay Wise Music. I still don't understand why we passed up on Dwyer and Willis McGahee.
Well, Dwyer re-signed with the Steelers the other day, and McGahee came in and worked out yesterday. Had an okay workout, but I understand conditioning was not great, and I understand he may also have a little bit of a medical issue. And so he'll get his chance somewhere else in the league, I'm sure. But Jacobs performed the best, and he also knows the system, and for a million reasons that we've already talked about, he was the right guy.
Here's another one from Keith Odom. And again, hey, listen, we really do appreciate the fan participation. This show is all about you guys. Keith Odom 1 is his handle. Play action will be big this year because of Wilson and Jacobs. They get a lot of defensive coordinators' attention. Your take?
Well, Eli Manning's an outstanding play action quarterback. And until you establish a running game that makes defenses worry about it, your play action is really not much of a play action at all. So, yeah, I would think that the Giants need Jacobs to help get that running game on track so this can return. I agree. I think it could be part of what they can do from this point forward.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Jerry calling in from Boca Raton, the mouth of the rat down there in South Florida. How you doing?
Absolutely, Anita. Good morning to you. Good morning to Paul.
Yeah, Jerry, yes? Jerry, really quick, because I just got a confused look from Paul Dottino. Boca Raton is the mouth of the rat.
Oh.
That's exactly what it is. And another point, half the time, I'll tell you how it got its name. But anyway, I haven't called in since last season.
Well, welcome.
And so I decided I was provoked because of a couple of things. I was unable to watch the game against Dallas a few minutes into the second half. I thought these guys still thought it was preseason. The Giants still had looked superior to Dallas, and they just couldn't connect, and it was sort of like it was a preseason game. But finally, the Giants have shown some sechel with regard to the running game. Maybe the Giants will occasionally use a two-running back set with Brandon in there so that they're not able to read Brandon as being the setup for a dive play. And I hope that he will be practicing running with a forward lean instead of standing up straight so he can either be used as a decoy or as a reliable short yardage back, not just on the 3-yard line or the 4-yard line. I want to see this guy start making some yardage and being able to give some variety to what that offense looks like to the defense of the other team.
Well, you know, let's make something very clear. Brandon Jacobs knows the entire playbook. He knows the third down package. He knows the short yardage package. He knows the standard sets. He knows everything that's got to be done in Kevin Gilbride's system. So I don't know exactly how many plays he's going to play on Sunday, but I do think you'll see him down near the goal line. I do think you might see him in some obvious pass protection situations, whether it's 2nd and 12 or 3rd and 15. And then, again, I think it's possible he does take the first snap for all the other reasons that I've already described. Those are the situations I think that you'll see him on the field in against Denver.
Somebody just took a jab at me on Twitter. I love it. This is from Ted Grum. And he said, yeah, Dez Bryant, Anita's best receiver, was taken out of the game by Ross in our secondary. Hashtag Giants chat. Understand something. in regard to fantasy football, Dez Bryant was the number 2 wide receiver taken off the board after Megatron. Yes, there are some hefty expectations for him this season in that Dallas Cowboys offense. But again, listen, there were some other wide receivers. Calvin Johnson didn't do much.
Would you like some steak sauce with my shoe?
Yeah, I know. But in all seriousness, I mean, a lot of times that's the role of a number 1 wide receiver. The Giants, they had a safety. They played double coverage on Dez Bryant all night long. Their whole game plan was to take him out of the game, which opens up things for other players.
Well, Austin did catch 10 passes.
Yeah. So, but Ted, thanks for the dig. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Andy in St. Louis. Andy, welcome.
Yes, good morning, Anita and Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi.
I think having Brandon Jacobs back on the team is going to be outstanding. He brings a mental and physical toughness and obviously the ability to block. So I'm all in favor, longtime Giant fan. Just want to express that I think from the aspect, again, of mental and physical toughness on offense, it's going to be a real positive for the Giants.
Really, Really, really appreciate your call. We have to wrap it up. We have to head over to our auditorium. Again, head coach Tom Coughlin is going to address the media at 11 a.m. You can tune into that live on MSG and watch Paul and Roman Oben break it down for you. Paul and I will be back tomorrow, same time, 9:30, and we will dive even further into the Manning Bowl coming up on Sunday. Have a great day, and stay tuned to Giants.com for everything Big Blue.